Okay, I'm Martin. I'm a reader in training here at St Mark's. Almost finished. I'm due to be licensed as a reader in September. But today we come to what is a very well-known set of verses in the Sermon on the Mount. But they're also verses that are regularly misunderstood. Jesus says, "Do not judge." Do not judge. But we all do that all the time. Are we not making judgments about what is going on around us? Also, we have biases and things that affect the way we think. For those who watch football, it's always a foul when it's our team. The ref is blind. But when it comes to the other team, it's never a foul, or maybe it's a foul, but it shouldn't be. But it's not just football. We jump to conclusions when we see things. Conclusions based on our attitudes, our prejudices. We make judgments on stories in social media, on politics, on music, on life in general. I hope we don't troll people, but some people do. Recent examples might be people making judgments about various sports personalities who have taken time out for their mental health. Social media has made judging and prejudice more explicit, more open, and more unpleasant. Do you look for likes when you post on Facebook or Instagram, assuming you do post on Facebook or Instagram? Do you know how much of your judgments are influenced by other things you read or see or perceive in society? But what is Jesus pointing to when he comes in this passage in Matthew? He says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Firstly, we need to ask ourselves, what sort of judgment is he thinking about? Do we have no judges at all? Where would be the rule of law without a judge making impartial decisions, having heard the evidence? We do not have to look far in the world or in history to see the impact of a biased judicial system. And maybe we shouldn't just be thinking of it as not in our country, because we do have biases in this country. Perhaps it's not biased if you're white, middle class. It might be if you're not. But Jesus is not meaning that sort of judge. He's thinking of judgmental attitudes. We can imagine him looking at a Pharisee in the crowd as he says this. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." He's talking about personal views, judgmental attitudes, biases made explicit in what we say and think about other people. Remember back in his Sermon on the Mount earlier on, he's told us, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." One of the things about Pharisees is that they were self-righteous. And an aspect of self-righteous people is that they are generally very judgmental about others who they consider to be beneath them or not as good as them. And just as an aside, notice I've just made a very sweeping judgmental statement about Pharisees there. Yet Jesus is not telling us to suspend our critical abilities when we look at things going on in the world, or turn a blind eye to the faults of others, or even ignore the difference between good and bad behaviour. He is teaching us to be prepared to use the same criteria that we use to judge them as we use to judge ourselves. How do we know this? Why do we not just take Jesus literally when he says, "Do not judge"? Isn't that the easiest way to take it? But to do that would be to take this verse out of context. Jesus has been denouncing the Pharisees through chapter 5 in terms of the way they had been twisting the law and their approach to religion in chapter 6. And here in this passage, we've got something about throwing pearls to pigs and sacred food to dogs. Come to that later if we can work out what that means. But we can't do that unless we know who are pigs, and that means we have to exercise some sort of judgment. And then in verse 15 of this chapter, we're told to watch out for false prophets, and we will recognize them by their fruit. So again, we have to be exercising judgment. Jesus is telling us to exercise critical judgment, and he is doing it himself in the way he talks about these things. So what really is Jesus teaching? He gives us both a principle here in verses 1 and 2, and then a pictorial example which we'll come to, about planks and specs. And that's there to help us to understand what the principle is. Do not judge, or you too will be judged, for in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. It's all about our responses to people. And we should not respond to them as a critic, or we should not respond to them in a harsh, judgmental way, or a censorious way, if we can use that word in an all-age service. We'll be looking at others and ourselves with the same standards. The measure we use will be the measure that we want to be judged with and the measure we judge ourselves with. Remember at the start, we reflected that it's really hard to be even-handed. We have biases about where we are on football or about all the other things. We're influenced by a lot of our prejudices that we don't realise. We should not be proud or arrogant in our relationships, not thinking ourselves as superior. Above all, not pretending to be God in making judgments about other people. So practically, what might this mean? We should not think worse of others than we are prepared to think of ourselves or our friends or our families. We should not speak only of other people's faults. We should be recognizing their strengths and trying to bring those two together. We should not measure someone's entire life by its worst moments. Yes, everybody makes mistakes, but that should not be the only thing we recall about them. One of the things in the media is you often see people are recalled by the things that they've done wrong. We need in our judgments and our reflections on people that not to do that. We should not assume people's hidden motives. Why do we assume we know what someone else's motives are? And when we do, it's always a bad motive. Maybe we know ourselves and we reflect our own motives onto them, but we weren't not prepared to admit that to ourselves, so we should not be assuming people's motives. We should not be ignoring how we might be in those circumstances. It's always easy to say, it'd be easy if I was doing that, I would never do that. But we don't know other people's circumstances. Life is tough. We need to recognize that we're assessing their response in a situation which we're not in, and we need to be doing it in a loving and merciful way. And above all, we should remember that we too will be judged, not by others, but by God. So Jesus has given us the general principle about, as he did in chapter 6. And he then goes on to a picture to help us to understand. Why are you complaining about other people's small faults when you're not looking at yourself at your big faults? Jesus is a joker. This is not serious, is it? Imagine a plank, and I've got a carefully healthy health and safety assessed small plank. Imagine a plank sticking out of your eye, comparing it with a small speck of sawdust, which I hope you can't see here. It's probably a slightly large one. But what do we know about Jesus' background? Why is he using this as an illustration? Now, I'm looking around for the younger people. I'm not seeing too many. But what was Jesus' skills? What was his trade, his background? Anybody can tell me what his trade was? Carpenter, yes. So he's using an illustration from his own experience of cutting planks and having, I'm sure, in the course of his time as a carpenter, he had sawdust in his eyes. Because that's pretty normal. They didn't have health and safety goggles in those days. So he's using his skills, his background, to illustrate his sermon. You'll be pleased to know I don't use my skills and background of making mustard and mayonnaise and ice cream to illustrate my sermon too often. But this is a ridiculous picture, isn't it? A person with a plank sticking out of his eye, offering to do delicate eye work on someone else. The danger is clear. It's all about hypocrisy. It's just like the Pharisees. But it is real. It's what we do ourselves all the time. We are making judgments. We're not measuring ourselves against what we want to be measured at. We tend to blame others while excusing ourselves. We exaggerate other people's faults and minimize our own. We make judgments And we are being taught here to use the same measure in our judgments that we use ourselves. Jesus' plea here is for us to be generous in our relationships, to think about it from other people's perspective. And Jesus has spoken a lot through the Sermon on the Mount about the sorts of things that could be planks in our eyes, the sort of things that we do wrong. Can we recall them? What sort of things has he said up to now? Now, this is a bit where I'm not going for the roving microphone, but at least I'm wanting some interaction. So what sort of things has Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount that might be planks in our eyes? Think back sort of to the sermons over the last sort of number of weeks. Any things, think of chapter 5. What was in there in chapter 5? This is a bit where I'm finding nobody wants to say anything. So I'll give you, so here was hatred and murder. He talked about raka, saying raka to your brother. So the relationships you have in your family. He talked about lack of faith in relationships. So Caroline talked about adultery and marriage. So lack of faith in relationships. Jesus then talked about dishonesty in speech. Do you remember we were talking about oaths and how oaths work and how we break our oaths? Jesus was, do we have dishonesty in our speech? Is that a plank sticking out of our eyes? We then have religious hypocrisy. Most of chapter 6 was all about how we claim that we're giving or fasting or praying and how we big ourselves up. And then finally last week we had worry and anxiety. The sort of worry and anxiety we have that takes us away and causes us to blame other people. And within that our trust in material things. So those are the sorts of things that might be, but there are lots of other things. I haven't been able to persuade you to say anything, but you could have come up with lots of other things sticking out of our eyes like a plank. Reducing our ability to see clearly and biasing our ideas and our attitudes. Yet we look not at the plank, but at the sawdust in someone else's eye. We ignore the plank in our own eyes. But how do we remove these planks from our own eyes? Jesus is telling us that we should first remove the planks. We need to be examining ourselves, discerning over sin. That's why we come to God in confession at the beginning of our services, but why we, in our own personal devotions, we should be doing this. It's easy to see faults in others, we know that. Much harder to see them in us. So we should spend time in self-examination, asking God by his Holy Spirit to make us aware of our planks. And then we need to bring to Jesus our sins for forgiveness. It is by grace we are saved and not because of anything we do. John wrote, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. It is in coming to Jesus and trusting in him and conforming to his teaching and attitudes that we can remove these planks from our eyes so we can see clearly. As we remove these planks and become like Jesus, we become less judging, less judgmental, like Jesus was less judgmental, more forgiving, more caring for our brothers and sisters. Remember what Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery. He said, neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave your life of sin. So Jesus is aware of her sin, but he's not condemning her, but he is helping her to go and leave her life of sin. So we're saying that Jesus is not ignoring the speck in our brother's eyes. Also, after all, we know that a speck of sawdust in our eyes is irritating and painful. We must sort ourselves out first, but once we have sorted ourselves out, we should help our brother in his or her smaller problem. We are to act as a brother or sister, helping them. We are to help them in a careful and merciful way, using the same measure that we would use for ourselves as we use for them. Not being hypocritical or harsh or judging them. We should help them as servants to enable them to remove the speck from their eyes. So we're not to be harsh or censorious or condemning, but we are to be supportive, loving, and merciful, as a brother or sister helping them. The general principle says the measure we use will be measured to you. The way we are supporting and helping our brother, or in contrast with the way we're judging and criticizing and condemning them, will be the criteria that is used in our judging. Our desire as disciples of Jesus should be supportive, caring, loving to our brothers and sisters when they have a speck of dust in their lives. We know that our tendency is to be very critical, harsh, blaming others. Do we do this at school? Or do we do it at work or in our families or at home? We need to deal with our critical approach as a plank in our own eyes first. And then when we come back with the sort of, why did you do that? The non-supporting, non-helping way. We need to come back and turn and repent and come to God. Jesus taught us, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. As our lives are conforming to the life of Christ in us, as we become more like Christ, our loving and our attitudes and our behaviors, we become like Jesus. And like Jesus, we will help others without being judgmental or harsh. In my experience, this is very, very hard. When it goes wrong, we should be ready to turn back to Jesus and look to extract the plank again from our own eyes. Yet there is something that we do need to learn, and that's discernment. We come to this last verse, which seems a bit odd and a bit out of context. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls before pigs. If they do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What does it mean? Who are the pigs and the dogs? The commentators say lots about what is sacred food or pearls, but the idea that Jesus is painting is quite clear. It's about not throwing good things to those that don't want it. But the problem is, what does it mean in this context? It seems to mean to me that as we help our brothers to take out the speck in their eye, having first sorted out the plank in our own eyes, yet if that person refuses help, we should not persist or force our help on them. That's like forcing our pearls before them. When Jesus sent out the 72, he told his disciples that if they were welcomed in a place, they were to stay and share the message of love and peace. But if they were not welcomed, they should leave with a warning that the kingdom of God was near, but not force their presence on that place. It seems similar here. Bring support to those who are in need in a brotherly manner, but do not force it on them. Be discerning on their reaction to your brotherly care, and if they reject it, be ready to step back. So what are we learning from this passage? In summary, first, we should not be judges. We should not be harsh or censorious of others. While using different standards in thinking about our own actions, we should be using the same standards and bringing the life of Christ into the way we see things. We should avoid hypocrisy in our attitudes. We should be working on our own faults before criticizing others. We should work on taking the plank out of our eye. Yet, when we do remove that plank, we should be helpful, caring, and loving to our brothers and sisters, supporting them in dealing with their minor specks. First, take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes. And finally, we should be discerning. We should not, and sensitive, so that we do not force our love or care on those who reject it. So be ready to step back. So do not judge, or you too will be judged. The measure you use will be measured to you. So shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a loving, merciful, and forgiving brother. Help us to seek your support to take out of our eyes all the planks that we have. Make us like you in service, Lord, with mercy and love in the way we live and relate, that we might live with discernment and mercy. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and help us to serve and work for you. Amen.